You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Are you having a good time on this, our first show of the new year? Keith Alexander, are you having a good time tonight?
I said that we need to call this the Jailhouse Rock episode. We have Jason, and then we have Christopher Cantwell.
Well, Jason was involved with a civil draw, so I guess that's a little bit different. But, hey, listen, nobody skates free in this country anymore. But
well, like Yogi said, it ain't over till it's over. Let's hope he never does.
Well, let's hope we never do. I was having dinner. I had dinner with Sam Dixon and about, I've had dinner with Sam a lot of times. But I remember one time in particular, it was actually a lunch. Now that is dinner for us in the South.
That's right.
And we have supper at night. Supper. But I asked Sam, I said, what's stopping anybody from just kicking down the door one of these corrupt agencies and kicking down the door and just hauling us off on trumped up charges? And I'll never forget what Sam said. He looked at me, he said, very little. And that was in the mid-2000s. So yeah, I gotcha. But hey, first show of the year, barn burner broadcast, and bringing back now our good friend Harry Cooper, the president of Shark Hunters. He's back. Any excuse to have Harry on for an hour to regale us with more stories about his personal interactions with the veterans of World War II certainly works for me. But for tonight, we're certainly doing it.
I think so many people are curious about this issue, and Harry's done such a good job in getting the real players to step forward and tell their stories.
Well, let's say hello to Harry. Harry, how are you doing tonight? And welcome back, and Happy New Year. First show of the year. Great to have you on it.
I'm happy to be here. Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
You got it. So, this is Harry's fourth appearance on the program since September. And he made such an impact on the audience in the first couple of appearances, I thought that, you know what, we need to have some of Harry's merchandise as our Christmas fundraising incentive. And I thought that it would go over well, but I didn't know it would go over as well as it did. I called Harry about a week ago and I said, Harry, I've been on the air 18 years. This was the single most successful fundraising drive we've ever done. And we got to have
everybody you loves Harry. I'm just wild about Harry, right?
I said, we got to have you back on to talk about it. Harry, in your opinion, and we're going to dive into this, pun intended, with the U-boats and all, but why do you think that people in the current year related and responded to this offer to the extent that they did?
Well, there's any number of guesses, speculations, etc. My feeling, of course, I'm a bit older than the middle group. My thought is that people realize the German military guys were not the murderous bastards that we were taught. They were not, you know, murdering people for sport and everything. They were honorable, decent fighting men. They lost because they were overwhelmed. They couldn't shoot down airplanes or sink ships fast enough. Our production was overwhelming, and they couldn't kill the Russians fast enough because the Russians had millions more to send. So they fought hard. They fought honorably, and they were overwhelmed. And so I think the average person, at least most of the people I know, Americans, don't like... Can I say bullshit on your show?
Yeah,
they don't
please
like
do.
The lies that we've been fed. Germans are all murderers. They make lampshades out of Jewish skin, and it's all lies. It's, you know. So we're coming on next month is our 40th year, and I don't get a salary. I don't make any money. As I told you privately, I've already put $300,000 of my own dollars into Shark Hunters over the last 40 years, and I don't regret one damn dime of it. I have met so many incredible, wonderful people on all sides. But, for instance, Otto Kretschmer, the top submarine commander of the war, he considered me part of his family. I had a sleeping room in their house. Hartigan, who sank the first ship in American waters, I've been to his house umpty zillion times. Hess, the youngest commander of the war, was my best friend in Germany. Admiral Flucky, the most highly decorated American submariner ever in history, sat on my sofa here. And, you know, just I've met hundreds, and they're all decent,
let me say one thing to you, Harry. Have you ever heard of the Barnes Review? You need to read all that stuff.
Hey, I'm not sure only has he heard of it, he's one of the contributing editors.
That's where it comes from.
I see his name in every issue.
Willis Carto was a friend of mine from the time he joined Shark Hunters in 1989. Yeah. We lived in Tampa at the time. He joined in 88. And he owned a radio station in St. Pete right across the river, or bay, whatever. And every time he'd come down, we'd get together for dinner at a Cuban restaurant right near my place. And for the last 30-something years, we've lived up here in Central Florida. And he used to come down and visit friends in Jacksonville on the other coast. And there's no part of Florida that's wider than 100 miles. And so we'd zip over and meet in St. Augustine, and we'd have beer and burgers up on the outside second floor balcony of the A1A Ale House. Willis was a dear friend. He was a good friend. He told me I should list him on our magazine as W.A. Carto, because otherwise, I might get some kickback. And I told him, no, not afraid of anybody. Well, then.
And Install Euration magazine, I remember, right?
That was a different one. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned Willis, because I knew Willis. Willis, I will brag this. He actually sent me a wedding gift back in 2006 when we got married. And I knew Willis, and I loved Willis. And you and I met at a conference that Willis was speaking at for the very first time in the spring of 2004. This one was actually in New Orleans. This one was actually in New Orleans in the spring of 2004.
That was a David Duke event.
You're damn right.
Right.
And Willis was there, so we were all there together. It was just amazing how many people I met at that meeting. Anyway, we're getting off track here a little bit, but that's fine. That's your track.
You drive the train.
I want to tell you, you know, it's amazing.
Don't jump the tracks.
Even after all, or the shark, you know, you don't want to jump the shark in media.
Oh, geez, no.
But it's interesting, Harry, after 18 years, this will be 19, and we're very proud of that. How many emails and letters we get every month? I just found out about your show. So let's just say somebody's tuning in who didn't hear the last couple of appearances you've been on with us for the past few months. I want to tell you the mission of sharkhunters.com. That is the organization that Harry founded and serves as president for now 40 years strong. 3 points of Shark Hunters: to tell the honest, true, and accurate history of the U-boat Waffa and the men who served honorably without propaganda, theories, guesses, fairy tales, or half-baked commentaries. Number two, to restore the dignity and pride to those brave, honorable warriors. And number three, to bring former enemies together as friends. That book so many of you received in the past few weeks, which more of you will receive in the days to come, we're still working to get them all out, was written by both German and American veterans of the war at sea. We're going to talk to Harry more about that next. Stay tuned, everybody. Sharkhunters.com.
Like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Always so great to welcome back to the program my longtime friend, Harry Cooper. How long time, you ask? Well, I met Harry Cooper before my very first show, on my very first day on the air. That's a long time, considering this is our 19th year on the air. I've known Harry longer than the show itself. And, you know, Harry, we were talking about the fact that this Christmas gift incentive offer that we put out there for people who would contribute to the show during the month of December, our Christmas fundraising drive, which ended a few days ago, they would get the book, U-Boat, Stories from the Men of the U-Boat Waffe, but also a signed photo of one of the German veterans of World War II. And on the back of it, the short bio of the veteran whose authentic signature you're receiving. And the audience went wild for it. Again, top fundraising incentive in the history of the program. But what I was even more interested in, I was very interested in that, believe me, but how many members of the United States Armed Forces contributed to this fundraising drive, and not just the various branches. I knew we had a lot of vets in the TPC audience. How many submariners, how many Navy guys who were in subs who contacted me saying, I've got to have this. And I got a couple. I shared some of the correspondence that Harry received. I emailed it to him a couple of weeks ago when it started to pour in. Harry, that was just, again, the tip of the iceberg. I know you've read some of it, but here's, I'm going to leave out some of the details, but here's a taste. Hello, James and Keith. It's been a while since I contributed, but here's a money order. That U-Boat book sure sounds great. I used to be on a sub in the United States Navy, and he goes on to talk about his career and which ship, and then he concludes the handwritten letter by writing, I listen to you guys every week. It's hard to keep up on the news cycle when you work in construction 40-plus hours a week, so thank you for keeping me informed. And that he lives up in the Pacific Northwest. Here's another one. Dear James and Keith, have a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I'm a U.S. submarine vet for 23 years. This is not the country I grew up in. Actually,
that's
quite ashamed of what it's become. Yeah, amen. The latest election shows how ignorant many Americans are. By believing in the Democrats, I have been saying for many years that America is irredeemable, so on and so forth, and he continues on with that. But this is just two of many that I received from the listening audience who served on submarines in the United States Navy. So, again, I got to ask you, Harry, why are people who served on subs in the U.S. Navy wanting to send money in to get a book written by German vets of World War II?
Easy. If you ever talk to any of the submariners, incidentally, we had submariners. Submariners were the Brits.
Touche.
But they all have one common denominator. Their enemy was the sea. They all ride the boats. They all go through the same daily life when, now I was in the Air Force. I'd get done loading hydrogen bombs onto heavy bombers in the daytime. I'd go back to the barracks, clean up, go to town, do what we did in town. The submarine guys don't. They stay together. Now our boomers, for instance, they go out for 3 months at a time. 3 months, they never see the sun. And the Germans were the same. They didn't go out quite as long of patrols. Our fleet boats in the war, they'd go out for a couple of months at a time. They'd never, most of them never see the sun. Now our boomers, they never surface. Once they go under, they stay down. They never see the sun. They're with the same team. That's what it is. It's a team. Everybody has to do their job or they're going to lose the boat. So it's a camaraderie like I've never seen in any other branch of any other service. Guys who rode the boats have a tighter bond. So just because an American is reading about a German, it's the same thing. They're a close-knit band of brothers, like Nelson once said about his guys. And Erich Topp, my good friend Erich Topp, who passed away a couple of years ago, the third most successful submariner in World War II, he said the same thing. He would preach to his men that they were a band of brothers. So they had a common denominator. Us guys in the Air Force, guys in other Air Forces, we had a lot in common too. But the submarine guys, they're locked up together for weeks at a time, months at a time, and so it's a whole different world for those guys.
Very hostile world too, you know that. Makes a mistake, you all go down.
Yeah, you couldn't bank right, bank left as a Luftwaffe pilot might do. You couldn't get in a foxhole as a Wehrmacht soldier might do. You couldn't run. You were just there.
Yeah, that brings something to mind. In another one of our books in the U-boat series, we've got 18 volumes already in the U-boat. You've got volume one that you're making available to your people, but in one of them, I can't remember which. Otto Giza was one of our members. He was first watch officer, which is the same as an executive officer. He was on a U-boat in against the Murmansk convoys, and this was PQ-17, the one convoy that got so decimated from the U.S. over to Murmansk, Russia. They were attacked by submarines and by U-boats, and by the Luftwaffe, and ships were getting blown out of the water all over the place. And Otto said they were running on the surface late at night, and they found a floating wreckage of an airplane, and it was a Luftwaffe plane, and they picked up the three survivors from the plane, and they had to dive because destroyers were coming. And after it was all over and they were headed back to base, Otto asked one of the flyboys, "Wouldn't you like to transfer over and be in the U-boats?" And the pilot says, "Listen, if I get shot, if my airplane gets shot up, I can jump out with my parachute and come down and get another airplane." He said, "If you guys get sunk or get hit while you're running submerged, you'd die like a rat in a trap." And that's what it is. Submarines, we're talking World War II, wartime submarines. If they got hit, there was such a small, tiny chance of anybody surviving.
Although some of them did. You know, I read that in your book. I thought 100% casualty rate if you got hit. But
no.
some of these people got out, and they would go on and get on another boat.
If they got hit on the surface, they had a prayer. If a submarine is running underwater, like 300-400 feet down, it was 400 feet down was nothing to a German U-boat. It was way deep for an American or a Brit, but the Germans built their boats differently. If you're running 400 feet down and a depth charge blows a hole in your boat, you don't drown. You die instantly because you've got one atmospheric pressure inside the boat until the thing blows open. And at 300 or 400 feet down, you got hundreds of atmospheres of pressure, and you just get bap, you're dead in the blink of an eye. Or if they're on the surface, and it always, I've seen pictures of it, and it's always a sad situation. If they're running on the surface and they get hold, it's usually forward or aft, rarely in the middle unless they're torpedoed. That end will fill with water and sink, and the boat stands on its nose or on its stern. Then they said it looked like Cleopatra's needle. Now all of a sudden you're in this submarine, and all of a sudden what used to be the deck, the floor, that's now a bulkhead, a wall, and you're standing on a bulkhead, which is now the floor. The lights are out. Things are flying around. The bilge water is flying around. You're in the dark, and you know ball game's over, and it goes down until it reaches crush depth, and
Jesus Christ. Oh, man. That's the thing. How dare anyone in the media, any of these cowards who have – I haven't served, so I can't say. Put me in that camp. But how could anybody cast judgment on these men? How could anybody say these men aren't heroes just because they weren't on, quote-unquote, our side?
Yeah, right, right. These guys reminds me of a saying when I was driving race cars. These guys had size 10 AAA balls. but no, they never thought it was going to be their boat. At the end of the war, after Black May of 1943, when they lost almost as many boats that month as the U.S. Navy did in the whole war, they lost 44 boats by combat that month alone, and the U.S. Navy lost 52 boats, but only, I think, 48 of them by combat in the whole war. So they, after that, one boat out of 10 came back from its first patrol. The other nine went out on their first patrol and didn't come back.
And see, you know what, Harry? I mean, that is the textbook definition of what a hero is as far as I'm concerned. And if all of the German veterans, because they lost, I guess they were the bad guys. I mean, that's the Norm Macdonald joke, the comedian from Saturday Night Live. I went through my history book and the good guys won every war from the beginning of time until now. Yeah. You more than anybody, certainly in America, but perhaps the world, gave these warriors their well-earned and deserved honor back. We'll talk to you more about it right after this.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News. I'm Jerry Barmash. President Biden will visit the southern border Sunday. White House National Security spokesman John Kirby said Biden is eager to talk to local officials and Border Patrol agents during his visit to El Paso. Kirby defended Biden's recent crackdown on illegal border crossings, saying the president is trying to strike a balance between opening legal paths to migration while curbing illegal activity. Biden spoke to newly elected Speaker of the House Kevin McCarthy on Saturday, Biden also saying in a statement that he is prepared to work with Republicans and said voters made clear they expect Republicans to be prepared to work with him as well. Buffalo Bills safety Damar Hamlin is posting on social media for the first time since he suffered cardiac arrest, making a routine tackle during the first quarter of Monday Night Football earlier in the week. Hamlin said on Instagram that the love he has received has been overwhelming and that he is thankful for everyone who prayed and reached out. A Virginia teacher is showing improvement after being shot in the chest by a 6-year-old student on Friday. Newport News School Superintendent Dr. George Parker says the community is hurting.
Today our students got a lesson in gun violence and what guns can do to disrupt not only an educational environment, but also a family, a community.
Students were eventually released to their families after an hour-long lockdown. Prince Harry's new autobiography is receiving criticism even before its release.
The British royal family has gone silent after excerpts from Prince Harry's book have leaked. The memoir, written by the estranged prince, alleges that Prince William got into a physical altercation with Harry about his relationship with actress Meghan Markle. Harry also said his father, King Charles, begged his sons to not make my final years a misery about their father marrying Queen Consort Camilla. The book, titled Spare, hits stores Tuesday. I'm Corey Myers.
This is USA News.
paid for by government.com.
Did you hear? A recent stash of $10 gold Liberty coins from the 1800s has been found. These gorgeous gold coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck in the late 1800s, and less than 50 of these gold coins are available. Coin experts are calling this gold find an incredible opportunity. Call 1-888-201-7060, and you are guaranteed a $10 gold Liberty coin minted by the U.S. Mint in the 1800s. But with extremely limited availability, you must call now. These gold Liberty coins from the 1800s are still in uncirculated condition. That is history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-888-201-7060. Call now, and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $40 value, free with every order. Call 1-888-201-7060 now to secure your $10 gold Liberty coins dated from the 1800s before they sell out. That's 1-888-201-7060.
So again, ladies and gentlemen, you contributed during December. You received a book and you received a signed photo, hand-signed by one of the German veterans of World War II. Now, we're going to talk more about that in a moment. But the book, U-Boat, Stories from the Men of the U-Boat Waffe, was written mostly by the German veterans, but there were some American counterparts who contributed as well. And that was another thing that I learned. I mean, and you talk about this, Harry. Your organization, Shark Hunters, sharkhunters.com, exists to bring former enemies together as friends. But even while they were on the battlefield, at times, they would help one another. One exception, the Japs, I guess you could say. But what do you know about that?
The early part of the war, before it was death for a U-boat to stay on the surface very long, they would sink ships. And they would cruise among the lifeboats, not to machine gun them, as the propaganda said. That absolutely never happened, not once, never. We've proven that. But they'd cruise among the lifeboats and find the captain of the sunken ship and ask if any of the people needed medical help. There were even some instances where somebody was injured pretty badly. They took him aboard the submarine and treated him and put him back in the lifeboat.
I've never heard that anywhere outside of you, Harry.
Well, of course not, because it doesn't fit the narrative. Germans were all evil people, and. But there was one instance, I think I told you once upon a time, one of our members, Peter Chelamidos, Captain Peter Chelamidos, was skipper of a merchant ship that got sunk in the North Atlantic. Fortunately, everybody got off into the lifeboats, and the U-boat came up alongside and asked him if anybody needed medical help. No, they didn't. And so he gave Captain Chalamidos a compass and told him which direction to steer for the easiest way to get to land. And then he said, I'd like to give you guys some fresh water, but our desalinator is broken, so can you take a few cases of beer instead? And that's the way it was. And some of these guys, now, what the heck was it? Captain Paul Just, pronounced Just, he sank the destroyer escort Davis. I can't remember the first part of it, but the Davis. And then several other destroyer escorts sank his boat immediately. He went to POW camp, et cetera, et cetera. Way after the war, Captain Just, from the German Navy, contacted the radar operator from the Frederick C. Davis ship that he sank, and they became best buddies. And the radar operator from the Davis had a large piece of property out in California, so Captain Just put a travel trailer on this guy's property and would come out and spend winters in California. Yesterday's enemies. And as I told you, I think during one of our private conversations, something I did, which I'm really proud of, nobody else could have pulled it off. At our convention in the year 2000 in Daytona Beach, Captain, Rear Admiral retired, Erich Topp, third most successful skipper of the war, German U-boat skipper, won the Knight's Cross with oak leaf and swords. Only five guys in the German Navy got that. And I had another guy, Rear Admiral Lev Davidovich Chernyevin, who was the last commander of the submarine force in the Soviet Navy. They shook hands at my convention. They became friends.
See, that's it. Yesterday's enemies are today's friends. This is yep. sharkhunters.com. And, you know, it's a terrible thing to think about. I mean, here we are now, the first week, first show in the year of our Lord, 2023. If you fought in World War II, you're pushing 100 if you're a day, and that's if you're young. Most of them far older than that. Most of them long since gone.
Yeah.
But for those who are left and for those who have already been called home, you gave these warriors their well-deserved, and I mentioned this in the last segment, their honor back. Talk yeah. about, and you mentioned this before in previous appearances, Harry, though, but talk about the differences between showing a pride in your sacrifice for your country between the American side and the German side. You're a vet here in America. What's it like compared right. to what they had to suffer?
Yeah, I'm a vet, not a combat vet, thank God. I was ready to go kill Russians, but thank God they were going to kill me if we had war. But no, here I belong to the American Legion, local. We've got VFW halls or posts. We've got Legion posts. And out in front, they got a Huey helicopter or they got a 3-inch gun or whatever. And they fly the American flag and they fly the MIA flag. Not in Germany. They could meet quietly in private. No signs out front. No Huey helicopters, nothing. In Hamburg, Germany, they had to meet in a rented house that was owned by a Knight's Cross winning skipper. No flags, no signs. In Klagenfurt, Austria, they had to meet in a former coal bin. And for you younger people, coal is a black rock that you throw in a furnace and it burns. But they had, years ago, when my first son, God rest him, I told him if you were naughty, Santa was going to bring you coal. And he said, what's coal, Daddy? So I had to tell him. But a coal bin is a huge, big room where they would dump coal that they could shovel into the furnace to heat this big office building. It was cleaned up, turned into a nice meeting establishment. But aside from a tiny little strip on the doorbell outside that says it's the U-Boots-Kameradschaft, no, it's the Marina Kameradschaft, the Navy group, that's it. They can't wear their uniforms. That's a crime if you wear a World War II uniform. And they can't show that they were in. They had to meet quietly. And I know absolutely that I helped these guys throw off that cloak of, oh, woe is me kind of stuff. And they held their heads up and they met their counterparts from other services. And I told you during one of our talks, our first convention, Key Largo, Florida, 1987. I was living in Chicago at the time, and I wanted to get out of the snow. So we met down there, and I drank a lot at the time. Incidentally, that was the last time I ever got drunk. It was February of 1987. And I was sitting at the bar drinking pina coladas. On my right was Oberleutnant Sersi de Reserve, Hans-Georg Hess, the youngest he was 4 months past his 21st birthday, and he gave him a combat submarine, told him, go on out and die. And on my left was a guy named Ray Langheim, who was a gunner on an American destroyer, and the two were talking back and forth across my face. So what was your area? Well, that was my area. When were you there? Well, that was when I was there. And Captain Hess said, the number on your destroyer was such and such. And Ray Langheim says, how'd you know that? And Captain Hess said, on such and such a day, I fired two torpedoes at you, but somebody must have seen me because your ship turned and I missed you. And Ray Langheim named the lookout. And then he says, well, Captain, you missed. What do you think about that? And Captain Hess slammed his big fist down on the bar. He says, well, I'm glad we missed. We have more time for beer now. And the two of them got to be best buddies. So, you know, there's so many stories like this. They put their pants on one leg at a time. I was in the Soviet Union, which I just finally found out why. I was invited over by the chief of intelligence for the Soviet Navy. I didn't know he was, but he was directed by the commander-in-chief of the Soviet Navy to invite me. He was ordered by Mikhail Gorbachev to invite me, and until recently, I didn't know why, and I found out from one of our spooks, one of our agents, that Ronald Reagan was a member of Shark Hunters until his death. He and Mikhail Gorbachev got to be buddies, and so that's how I got invited over. So I was making an appearance in front of about 20 admirals. They were on a round table. Them Russians love round tables. They were all seated, and I was standing with Anatoly, who was my interpreter. He was also the chief of intelligence. And each admiral, in his turn, asked me a question about submarine history, which I answered. But all the time, this rear admiral across the table from me, he was staring at me with icy blue eyes, and it came time for him to ask. His question was, why are you here? And I pointed right at him. I said, I'm here because I was told you're my enemy. He got all stiff in his chair. I said, but you were told that I was the enemy. And he grumpily agreed. I said, but I don't see an enemy. I see a man like myself who wants his kids to grow up in there a peaceful world and live a decent life.
And well, you said that in one of your previous appearances as the music begins to play. Yeah, I mean, what a storyteller, and what stories to tell. But Harry, you said that. You said, you know, hey, propaganda doesn't work if you tell the truth. These guys have wives and children they want to return home to. They go to the same church as you do. They're fighting for the country the same as you. But go kill them anyway. Wars don't work like that. We'll be right back.
Antelope Hill Publishing is America's leading publisher of dissident books, bringing you a wide variety of new translations and original works on every subject from the Spanish Civil War to the funding behind the transgender movement. Antelope Hill publishes books that mainstream publishers won't touch, full of information that challenges the political status quo and brings real culture to the reading public at an affordable price. If you count yourself as a political dissident, you owe it to yourself to check out the Antelope Hill catalog with exclusive offerings like Solzhenitsyn and the Right, The Open Society Playbook, Opioids for the Masses, and many more. There's something there for everyone, and new titles are added every month. Check out the catalog today at antelopehillpublishing.com. That's antelopehillpublishing.com. I'm James Edwards, and I want you to go to antelopehillpublishing.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit. A battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey? Well, now you can, thanks to LocalHoneyMan.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at LocalHoneyMan.com.
One more segment. Where has it all gone this first night of broadcasting in the year 2023? Ooh, after last week's New Year's Eve show and tonight, we'd be hard-pressed to end a year and begin a year in better fashion, and to do it with Harry Cooper, who was the founder of the feast, so to speak, for our fourth quarter fundraising drive of 2022. You loved it. I loved it. We loved presenting it. Folks, you know me. I'm 42 years old. I've been married since 2006. I've got three kids. I've got a 12-year-old daughter, an 8-year-old son, a 2-year-old daughter. I've got all the bills that go along with it. I got a mortgage. I got a car note. I got cell phones. I got health insurance, life insurance, utility bills. You name it. I got it all and then some. But you know the first debit that comes out of my account every month, it's $10, and it's to sharkhunters.com. That is not hyperbole. Very first thing every month, sharkhunters.com. And I know some listeners have joined Shark Hunters as a result of Harry's appearances in recent months. I want more of you to do that. $10 a month. What do they get for that, Harry? Give them 60 seconds because I got something I got to get with you on. But sharkhunters.com is where you can join. $10 a month. What do they get for their money?
$10 a month gets you everything we have. It gets you the magazine every month. They also can go back in history and look at all our back issues. And we've got hundreds of videos and movies from the war years. You can look at them anytime, as often as you want. We've got hundreds of hours of music from the war years. Listen to them anytime you want. All for 10 bucks a month.
Sharkhunters.com with a debit card. I did it in just a minute or two. You can too, and we want you to do that because we know how much you like Harry's stuff. Obviously, you showed us that and helped support us along the way as well. People are still receiving
out,
this stuff.
Let me add something. Let me throw this in, because if people go to sharkhunters.com, they're going to bring up our old friends, the Southern Poverty Law Center, otherwise known as the Spitlickers. They have posted that I'm a Nazi, which is an absolute lie. They posted that our organization, Shark Hunters, is a hate group. Ronald Reagan was a member. The four Medal of Honor winning American submarine commanders were members and governors.
Who wrote the back cover? Who wrote the back cover of the first edition of U-Boat?
Oh, not fair. You're asking me a question. I can't. Well, I don't have it in front of me.
Well, it was the former head of the United States Navy in the early 90s.
Oh, okay. Frank Kelso.
There you go.
He was a member also.
So he's a Nazi too, though, even though he was the head of the United
Apparently
States Navy.
Apparently so, yeah. I have to, and the person who attacked me was their main hit dog, Dr. Heidi Blyrich, who is, she goes by the nickname of Fat Heidi because she's a 550-pound lesbian.
She's got more chins. And she has a German name, too. How ironic.
Yeah. She's got more chins than a Chinese phone book.
That's right. Come on now, Harry.
Every time they publish, and they've quit publishing bad stuff about us, because every time they publish a hit piece, we get about 20 more members, and I make sure they know that. So they're just liars. But anyhow,
send them a Christmas card.
Yeah, right. Everybody else who is interested in honest history, boy, we've got thousands of members in 77 countries, some of which don't even exist anymore. They're still there, but they just changed the name. East Germany, West Germany, Soviet Union, those have all changed names. But so, you know, as I told you, nobody gets paid here. I don't get a salary. Way back before Obama came on the scene, I paid myself $250 a week. I had been vice president of a very large company making a whole lot more than 250 bucks a week. And I walked off that job with no pension to do Shark Hunters full-time 40 years ago.
Well, and 40 years, and we're going to talk to you more. You're going to be continue to be a regular guest, so we'll have you back on soon. We'll talk about what the 40th year will entail, what's coming up for Shark Hunters in year 40. But as we wrap up this sort of...
We're going back
to
Germany. Anybody who wants to go with us, we're going on patrol in October.
All right, we will have you back on in a few weeks to give us all the details about that, and I can't wait to learn more and how people can sign up for that particular patrol. Now, I've got to say this, though. This is sort of like the thank you for providing us with these materials that so many people have really enjoyed. In addition to the book that we've been talking about, we mentioned you get these signed photos of German veterans, hand-signed. And it's not just one. Everybody gets the same guy. Harry sent me an assortment. Now, we did run out, and we had to get more. So some people, if your order has not been fulfilled yet, We ran out of inventory. Harry sent us inventory. Then we ran out of hard cardboard mailers for the photos. We had to order more from, I don't want to even mention it. We had to order more from Amazon. But anyway, so we're still filling orders. Everybody that contributed at the appropriate level is going to get it. Don't worry. We're not going to leave you behind. But you might not get the same vet, okay? So it was an assortment of photos. And Harry explained in the last interview back in December how he came to acquire all of these signed photos. But I'm just going to – I got a collection here right now. And I'm going to butcher some of the names. But you may have received one of these signed photos. Here's Gerhard Dietrich, who was – he fought in Manstein's army on the Eastern Front.
He was such a fine, fine man. I was in his home I don't know how many times.
Oh, my God. See, I mean, that is to history buffs, that's an unfair cheat code.
Manstein was supposedly the best field commander in German army.
That Eastern Front, man, you wouldn't have wanted to be on that one. You wouldn't have wanted to be anywhere but that one. So Harry knew all of these guys. That's how he got the signed photos. He knew all of these guys. Here's Wolf Ackerman. Now, he served as the first watchkeeping officer on U 509, that's U-boat 509. Then he commanded, he was a skipper of U-994 and U-1221. He became a doctor of law after the war, okay? You've got, here's Willibald Volsing, who was a battleship officer with the Tirpitz. Now, there are books and encyclopedia entries written about some of these guys and the ships upon which they served, the Tirpitz. That is a very interesting story if nobody knows about it. Here's Kurt Rebs. Kurt Rebs, he served aboard U-456. They torpedoed and damaged the HMS Edinburgh that was carrying the Russian gold supply, allowing three German destroyers to catch and sink her. So, I mean, these are men of history, and there's a lot of flyboys, too. Kurt Schultz, a Luftwaffe fighter pilot. We had some of his signed photos that we sent
to
people.
With the Knight's Cross.
100 combat missions. 100 combat missions with the Luftwaffe. Can you imagine what this man saw? I am holding in my hand right now, as I talk to Harry Cooper, I am holding in my hand a signed photo of Kurt Schultz, who served 100 combat missions for the Luftwaffe. And it goes on and on and on. Here's Hans Wolbier, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, a Stuka pilot, squadron leader, flew 405 missions between 1943 and 1945 on the Russian front. He got decorated in gold for bravery. These are the people that whose names and whose handwritten personal signatures and photo cards with a short bio you received. These are men of history. These are men of honor, Harry Cooper.
Yep. They were all members of Shark Hunters and all friends of mine.
What is it like to have known these men? I mean, these men that have been so maligned by the official history, the so-called official history, not the true history, but what passes for history, to have known them, to have befriended them, to have earned their trust to where they're...
You want the true history, you need to subscribe
SharkHunters.com.
And the Barnes Review.
That's right. Yeah. What was it? Harry... What's that like?
One of the things that popped up most in my mind after I started meeting them all, I met Otto Kretschmer, became good friends. He said I was part of the family, had a sleeping room. I remember I studied this man in high school and never knew I was ever going to meet the man, let alone be part of his family. I studied him in high school. It just, you know, it's
incredible.
You can't describe it. These guys, every doggone one of them was straight up, honest, honorable. The same as the guys I met from the U.S. Navy, the Medal of Honor winning guys, and the guys I met from all the other navies. We only found one who was a skunk, and I kicked him out of Shark Hunters. He was a low-level enlisted man, and he was selling fake U-boat combat badges, claiming they were his during the war, but we kicked him out quickly. But they were all honest, honorable people, just like you and me, just like everybody I knew when I was in the military. We all were decent, honest people doing our duty for our country. And like I found out later in life, there's no such thing as a good war.
Hear, hear. Well, certainly not amongst brothers, which was what the world wars were, which is so many of the wars in Europe have been. But Harry, I want to thank you again. We're going to get to that Cracker Barrel in Florida, and we're going to do that soon, and we're going to break bread together again, brother. But I want to thank you again for your life's work with Shark Hunters. Sharkhunters.com, folks, $10 a month. You go to Starbucks one time. Why don't you support a guy that's actually helping our people as opposed to an organization, a conglomerate that's hurting us? $10 a month, sharkhunters.com. All of the men he met, all of the stories, 4 times in 4 months he's been with us, and I can't wait for the next time already. And this
and
is
you read about
been...
it all in our magazine that you get for your $10 a month. That's just part of it.
And if you like the book, there's 18 sequels now to this book that we gave, and there's so many DVD movies, all there available there in the Shark Hunter shop. Right, Harry?
Yes, sir. And not only the 18 volumes of this book, we've got lots of other books, too. Just go to sharkhunters.com, click on shop, and you're there.
And folks, listen, if you want to spend money with a guy who deserves it, you want to spend money on something that will interest you, these stories, these veterans, these heroes, it's a cause worth supporting. I envy Harry Cooper. I don't mind sharing that. I envy Harry Cooper for having known these men. I met one Luftwaffe pilot. We interviewed him a couple of times. And in America, in the American Air Force, the United States Air Force, you shoot down 5 people, you're an ace. That's like a slow week at the office. You got kind of busted down if you only shot down 5. With the that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but yeah, that's true.
Let me throw in one last thing.
Quickly.
We've sold tens of thousands of books. They're guaranteed. If you don't like them, send them back. Not one single book has come back out of tens of thousands of books that we've sold.
I don't doubt that at all. The response that I've seen, some of which I've shared with you, all of the vets of the United States military, including the Navy that have wanted these, couldn't wait to get them. I believe it. Sharkhunters.com, first show of the year is in the book. I don't think we could have done it any better. Harry, I love you, pal. We'll talk to you again soon, and we'll have you back on the air soon as well.
Roger.
Godspeed. For everyone else, we'll talk to you next week. For Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. For all the great guests tonight, especially Harry Cooper at sharkhunters.com, Happy New Year. We'll see you next week.